Aleluia. Praise the Lord. Well, Kate, come and preach the word of the Lord this morning.
I prefer this one. Oh. It's so good to be in the house this morning. It's so good to be back in Australia, in Perth. It was something that I held really open. So it was only about 3 weeks ago, actually, that I was able to book my tickets back. So it hasn't been a long term. It was always a hope and a dream to come back at this time. And I thank God that God gave me that kind of long-sightedness, because with COVID and many friends not being able to go home, it really did hurt a lot of them. A lot of them, you know, a lot of disappointment and things like that, and people went through. But I actually had my heart to come back in March, 2 years ago, right now. So it's just been amazing that it kind of worked out. And I was like, I was a bit like right to the very end. I was like, oh, like I think I'm going home. I think I'm going home. Like right to the like, I booked the ticket, and then the good to go pass. They're like, we won't. It's not guaranteed until the next announcement by your premier, which was 3 days before I was supposed to fly. And I was like, are they gonna let me in? Are they not? And then I got the good to go pass, and then a bunch of people got COVID around me. And I was like, just can't get COVID. I'm like, I've got to get a PCR test just before I get on the plane. Like, just hope it all goes through, and thank God it has, and I'm here. So it's great to be here. It's really, really good to be in the house. Thailand has been amazing. I've gone through a really big transition in the last 3 months. So for the last 3 years, I was based in Chiang Mai, working with Pastor Jonathan and Judy and the team there, and also working in the international school. As well as doing in my breaks and on weekends, I was going to the border and helping with Pastor Shailin and Hem Bai. But that has all changed. I've finished teaching full time, and now I'm working full time with Pastor Shailin and Hem Bai, and also with some of the projects that are in Mae Sot on the Burma border. So it's been a very big adjustment, but it's been awesome. It's just been so good to see God do different things throughout that season of transition. So firstly, I've got notes. I have to thank everybody so much from Pastor Shailin and Hembai. They send their love and regards and just say thank you so much for the monthly support that your missions donates and gives to them to be able to do the outreaches that they do in the rubbish tip slum area and with the factory workers. The church is booming. They get about 30 people minimum at their home groups during the week. So they're sitting at the services well over 150 in the morning, and then we also have services at night. And then it's super cool to see, and I just love seeing how Pastor Shailin and Hembai have really raised up leaders in their community. So we have leaders in the rubbish tip slum area. We have leaders in the factory workers community. We have leaders that work in the farming area. And so people that have got saved and have come into church and are being discipled, and then they're going back into their communities and they're able to do that, which has been incredible throughout COVID. When we had COVID, you're not allowed to go into different communities. You have to stay in your community. And we had leaders that were raised up in those communities who then were able to give a hope to the people in their community. So thank you so much from Pastor Shailin and Hembai for your partnership, because honestly, this church is one of the biggest partners that they have in Mae Sot. They said, like, you know, they're like, we have the hands, we have the feet, but we don't have the finance. And so together we're partnered together, and that's the way that God's created it. So the fruit that they have is also your fruit. The ability that they have to go into the communities and see people saved and to be able to meet the needs, that wouldn't be possible without the people that are supporting and partnering. So thank you so much. Okay, so I did move to, I moved to Mae Sot on the 17th of December. I drove a car there on the 16th, so it was a five-hour drive there and a five-hour drive back with some furniture. And that was actually the day that the war came to my town, just outside my town, so within 10 minutes of where I was. So it kind of was finish one season and bang, you're into the next one. I had ACCI. I don't know if many of you know of ACCI. So that's Australian Christian Churches International. It's the missions group with Australian Christian Churches oversees those. And they asked me to help with their social media and do some promotion of what we're doing. And I was like, I'm just moving to a new town. I've got no idea what I'm going to be doing. Like, I was like, set up my house. I'll probably be going to the shops to try and get groceries. Like, I was like, I don't know. But then war came and it was like, bang, we were on. The first day that I was in town, I ended up in the media, which was not intentional at all. I really like to go in and like help at ground level. But somebody had a phone at a distribution center and they snapped a photo of me. And that evening, so we'd been working from 7:30. I got in about 8:30 at night. And a friend from Australia contacted me and said, are you a Maysot? I said, yeah, why is that? She said, I'm online and I'm pretty sure I'm looking at a photo of you. She's in Melbourne. I was like, really? Anyway, she sent me the article and it was about international aid and the local communities working together to support the people. We had 6,000 refugees come to our side of the border in a day. So it was a massive influx of people with no infrastructure, no ability to really facilitate that. And it was incredible, even like I know with your church, and there was a couple of other churches we've been working with, they wanted to give extra money at Christmas. And so it was like the 17th of December, and we were like, we have this money, we're able to feed these people, we're able to be his hands and feet on the ground. So initially, I was actually quite upset about being in the media. I took a night out. I actually said to my friends, I need some time. And I took it to God and I was like, God, this is not why I came. We see NGOs come. We see people that drive in their fancy cars and all of their, you know, we're here, we'll save the day. And really with their own intentions. And I was like, God, that was never my intention. I want to work alongside my local friends and be able to meet the need where I know there's the gap. And he clearly said to me, Kate, I have created you to not fit in. He's like, look at you. I was like, I will stick out like a sore thumb. There is no way I am going in undercover anywhere. I am not dark hair, dark features. I have freckles. Like, there is no way that I'm, you know, that. But he said, I will use you for the reason and purpose that I put you there. And so because of that, I was in the media, doors started opening up. The Thai military, like, have been incredible to work with us. They don't like working with NGOs. They don't like working with the UN. There's a lot of political things that are involved, but they'll work with the local church. And so that's what was really cool. When they work with the local church, we're like, you know, this is what we were created for. This is what we're here for. This is what, you know, we carry a hope inside us that the world doesn't have, and their doors are wide open. So we went to the distribution center that day. The next day we got a phone call from the military and they said, we've run out of food. So there was probably double what we have here today in people in a big field sitting on the floor, everyone walking around with MK-47, like big, you know, guns. And I'm a driver, so I was in the car by myself, and Pastor Shailene and Hembai were in the car in front of me, and they called us and asked us to come through with food. We had just filled our trucks, we had food, we had water, and we were ready to go. Anyway, we had to go through three military checks. Everyone that was not a driver, or I don't know how, but Hembai got to jump in as well. She finds a way to get into different, you know, Pastor Hembai, she finds her way, so her husband was driving. She's like, if he's going, I'm going. So the three of us just went in to this place. And it was so incredible because we had, like, they had three boxes of noodles and double of what, you know, what we have
probably double the chairs, I would say, in people that we had. And then we only had 3 boxes of the noodles, but our trucks were full. And we had so much aid with us that was exactly what they needed. And then it was awesome. So they had them all lining up on the side, coming to get the food. And Pastor Shailene then preaching with them as they're coming past, not preaching at them, but loving on them and sharing the gospel and giving them a hope and saying, we're with you. We're not giving up on you. We're here. We're praying. We're interceding for you guys. And just to see an atmosphere of such brokenness and such difficulty to be given a hope in that situation, those people, it was just amazing. And so I just thank God for those opportunities that he opened up so that we can do those. No day looks the same. Every day looks completely different. We get a call and we go. I've been asked actually a number of times, Kate, are you scared when you go? Are you like, we've been in some pretty interesting situations and a lot that we can't really talk about even today because I know this is going online. But it's been amazing to see, you were talking about like a rest and a peace that's not known by the world. Like it's not actually, if you were to tell somebody this is what I just did, they'll be like, that is crazy. Like how did you, were you not scared? How were you not? And it's listening to that still small voice. We have people that want to be cowboys. You got people come in and be like, I want to be the hero. I'll throw myself out into, I'll cross that river and go to Burma. I'll do this. I'll do that for themselves. But it's so dangerous. And it's, if God hasn't told you to do it, you're nuts. You're crazy if you're going to do something that like is in your own strength and in your own will. It's like walking into the fiery furnace, you know. Oh, yeah, like let's see if we get burnt. Why would you do that? Like, unless God has told you to do something, it's crazy not to. We had one situation where that day, God clearly that morning said to me, I want you to go to the gate and I want you to pray. I want you to go to the gate and I want you to pray. And so just so that you know, the river, so this side is Thailand, that side's Burma, and the river in parts is less width than this room. So you can see Burma's just there. Like it's very, very close. You could walk across. You could drive across. It's very, very, very close. And there, that side is very high alarm. Very high. Like there's war. There's things going on. We've seen the military and things like that. So the Thai military are on this side, the border security. And we can protect you if you're on this side. But if you go that side, there's no protection. And this one day, I really felt to sit at the gate and wait. And I don't cross the border. I got enough adventure. We don't need to go. we don't need to make any more drama. And so I sat at the river, and I just had worship music on, and I was just praying. And some kids came down from Burma side, and they were like having baths and playing with balloons and balls that I had. And I got a phone call from Pastor Shailene about 20 minutes later. Are you okay? Are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like sitting here by the river playing with the kids. I'm okay. What do you mean? He says, the military followed and the police. They're all supposed to be exactly at the point where you are. And I said, I didn't see anybody. I didn't know, but I knew to pray. And so I just love that when God calls us to pray, and I've shared this before, when God calls you to pray, you don't know the situation that's going on. You don't know, like, the craziest day that I had that I won't mention or go into. I had 3 people that morning contact me and say, God put you on my heart and I've got to pray for you. And I tell you what, at the end of that day, I was so thankful that those people just didn't say, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. They really prayed for me. And I believe it is a miracle that I am standing here today. It is a I came really, really close to some pretty crazy stuff, but I know that intercession really, really is, it makes a difference. I had a friend, Mom Park, shouldn't say her name. I have a friend that was working over there, and God put her on my heart. I hadn't seen her for a number of years. She's a midwife working in the jungles, and God really put her on my heart, and I kept messaging her, just messenger, God put you on my heart. I'm really praying for you. God put you on my heart. And I didn't hear anything back. But it was a few days that it had gone on for. And then a couple of weeks later, I got a message back from her. And she said, Kate, you have no idea where I was when you sent me those messages. I said, I didn't even know she was in the country. I didn't know where she was. And she said, I was hiding in a jungle and Australia had to evacuate us and our family out. He said, we were hiding in the jungle and you were messaging and you were interceding. And I love the fact that, you know, you don't know what's going on, but God does. And there's so many times in our lives, you know, we find situations like when I was in the media, I was so angry. I was like, this is not my plan. This is not how I was supposed to go undercover and be helpful in that way. This was not what I wanted. But God had another plan. And so sometimes you might find yourself like in situations with your friends, your family, your jobs, and you're like, this isn't fair. This is not my plan. Nothing is going, you know, it really might look like you're in the fire. It might look like you're in the storm, you know, like Paul when God said, you know, he knew to go. But God has a plan and he works all things out for good for those, right? For us according to his will. So there's no need for us to be fearful. It's really interesting. I've come from a war area. I said the second day I was here, I was talking to Mum and I was like, I could hear jet planes. I said, oh, you don't like to hear those. Where we are, you don't like to hear those jet planes because you know what comes after that. But there is something different in this city since I've been back from when I was away. I cannot believe, and it's that, like Mel was saying about finding that rest, there is an atmosphere of war that is going on in this city. You've got the shopping center and people are like getting angry at the till that doesn't work, or like, you know, that's it, I'm going to smash it, or like, you're wearing masks, you're not wearing masks, or, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do this, or my family's a mess. I'm like, it's just a different type of war. What I see is different. Yes, we've got guns, we've got military, but I tell you what, there's something going on here. People's peace is gone. And the harvest is ready. They are so desperate. They are so desperate. The doors are open. You know what? You go into a shopping center and you be kind to the person behind the cashier. They'll look at you like you've got three heads. They're like, what do you mean? Like, or you go into a restaurant and you ask, you know, the lady, do you have whatever you need? I know you got things that you need. And you actually be kind to them. They're like, this has been the most rubbish day. I've been abused 5 times. Like, thank you so much. And as the church, that's what we get to do. That's our opportunity. The doors that are open, like we share his hope. We share, if we are hopeless, what are the world going to see? And I just think it's getting darker and darker. There's more conflict. There's more confusion, more than ever before. And we have this opportunity of these people that are, you know, friends of ours that might be asking questions that never asked before. People that you work with, people that you study with or go to school with, your neighbors. You know, when we were younger, we used to do a lot of like evangelism, and there'd be like, you know, segues, or how can you, if someone asks this question, how can you maybe share the gospel with them? But now it's like, you know, I'm desperate, I've got nothing, I lost my job, I've got, what a segue for you to go, guess what? I have this hope. Guess what? I've got this rock and firm foundation that I stand on. And regardless of if things look like they're great or if things look like they're not great, I know that God is with me. He is with me in the midst of it all. Sorry, that's a little bit of a few testimonies. Oh, let's go. I was looking at Joshua 1 as well. If you look at Joshua 1, and it was talking about being courageous. Like so many times in that scripture, it talks about being strong and being courageous. And I think it's what we need, what this church needs. I know that it's hard, like people's mental health has really been affected with what's been happening in the last couple of years. But we need to lean into him because he is our strong, firm foundation. He is our courage. He is, you know, when things look like it's hopeless, he is the only one that we can depend on. And as a church, if we can't stand on that, what hope does the world have? What hope does the world have? I mean, I am not a doomsday speaker. I do not. People will go on and on. We actually carry a hope. We actually carry a peace that surpasses understanding. We actually carry a love that is not known by this world. So why would I focus on other things that the world is focusing on, but focus on what God has called me to do? And for this season, it's in Thailand, and to be able to do what, you know, what He's called me to do. I want to share, I had a crazy miracle. I want to try and share it yesterday. Because sometimes people say to me, oh, that stuff happens when you're overseas because you're on missions, and that, you know, when you're in the middle of a war, and that's when God shows up because we pray for the sick and they get healed. I'm like, you can pray for the sick in Australia and they still get healed if you pray for them and lay hands on the sick, right? But people come with different expectations when they're like, well, you know, you're in Thailand, so maybe it happens in Thailand, but we don't see it so much here. This was crazy. And when I found out, I couldn't even talk. I was trying to tell my friend, and I was like, I'm just crying. This is stupid. But 3 months ago, I was contacted in Thailand by a friend down in Busselton. Her work colleague was in a horrific car accident and wasn't expected to live. She had internal bleeding and she had spinal injuries, and she was in a really bad way. And she contacted me and she said, Kate, can you pray for her healing? But more than anything, can you pray for her salvation? She doesn't know God. And so I said, yeah, I'll pray. And then she said, it was like 2 weeks later, she said, Kate, my friend's still not doing so great. She's still in Fiona Stanley. She's still in the hospital. She's just found out her husband's terminal with cancer. So can you pray? And I said, yeah, like, for sure. Like, let's pray. Let's intercede. And I actually contacted some of the prayer team here. I said, I've got this friend, she's not expected to live, and her husband's in a really bad way. Yesterday, I was in Busselton helping, surfing for people with disabilities. I was allocated one lady to look after. That one lady was a lady that I've been playing for the last 3 months. How is that? How's that? That God... When I was in Thailand, that God would use someone in Perth to contact me to pray for a lady. Yesterday morning, I got up at 5 a.m. and I drove 3 hours to help in a community. And that was a lady. That was the lady that I was helping. And I just think, God, I didn't know what He was working in the background. I had no idea what He was working in the background. I was interceding and I was praying on behalf of, but... that I met her. Anyway, next week I'm speaking down there. I can't wait to meet her again. I can't wait to meet her again, because for her to know that God would orchestrate something like that, that God would put her on the heart of somebody in a different country, and then for me to come to this country and help her. She had a few turns. She's para. She's got no use of her legs, and she's quite, she's still got wires and stuff and all connected. She had 2 full-time nurses with her the whole time we're in the water. And she was lying on like a aqueduct things on top of the board. And she said, can I just float in the water? I just want to feel what it's like to float in the water again. She said, it's not until you have an accident or a situation like this that you realize how good you really had it before. And so me and one of the marshals had her, and she had her arms around the both of us. And she's like, can you just tilt me up a little bit so I can be in a standing position? Because this is how I used to see the world. And she's now, I see the world on my back. And just an incredible opportunity just to love on her, and then for her to hear. I didn't tell her I'd come from Thailand. I told her I'd come from Perth that morning. And I actually didn't know it was the same lady until I got home. I had no internet on my phone. So I got back and I was like, I'm pretty sure that's the lady. Like, I'm pretty sure. And I contacted my friend and she sent me a photo. And she's like, you guys are in the photo together. It was the same lady. So just amazing how God works those things out for good. Just blew my mind that, you know, when you don't know what's going on. And she hasn't received her full healing yet, right? But I'm praying for her salvation. I mean, I'm praying for her healing, but more than anything, I'm praying for her salvation. I'm praying for her peace. I'm praying that she would know that God has a purpose and a plan for her life, regardless of what's happening with her body. Like, yes, we want her body to be made whole, but my first concern is that she would know who Christ is. And that's the same as when we go into the villages and we go into the communities. You know, we give the aid, we give them the food that they need. We're able to give them shelter. We're able to give them clothing. But really, if we just did that and we didn't give them the gospel, we're no different to what the world, good people are doing, right? They're doing the exact same thing. We've had people that are going, that are needing. I had a friend that was stuck over there and wanted her Bible. And so we smuggled her Bible over to her, and a general found it. He said, "What's this?" You know, you don't mess with the generals. "What's this?" She said, "It's her Bible." And he said, "Look, give me a look at that." And he looked through it and he said, "This is what the people need. This is a hope. This is what the people," he said, "this is what the people need." And I was in the town like for 2 days, and we printed off 100 of them. We got them on a boat. We got them over there to them. And they were singing the hymns out of the back of the Bibles in the caves and in the dugouts that they had, because they need that hope. You can meet a need, and it's what he said. He said, "We can have food for the day, but then it's gone. This is a hope for us to continue on," and this is what's really important. Even with what's going on crazy in Ukraine, I have a friend that has been a really good prayer partner of mine for the last 3 years. She has been living in Germany, working with she does like IT stuff, but she's also doing Awakening Europe, which is a big prayer and worship movement over there. And when things started happening in Ukraine, she contacted me and she said, "Kate, what's it like being on the front line?" She said, "I really feel God's told me to take Bibles in." And I said to her, "Well, this is what happened." I was able to share our testimony, and she was like, "This is it." She's like, "I'm going to put together a fundraiser. I'm going to get 100 Bibles, and I'm going from Germany to Ukraine." I said, "That's awesome." Our conversations happen at 4 a.m. She calls me at 4 a.m., and this is, you know, when business takes place. The next day she calls me and she's like, "Kate, I was so disappointed today." This is such a great testimony. She's like, "I was so disappointed. I needed $1,200 to buy 100 Bibles." She said, "But I only got 600. She said, "I needed 1,200. So she said, I really got quite disappointed. So she said, "I just prayed. I just had to pray and God say, 'God, I thought you told me that I had to take 100 Bibles in.'" He said, "Get on the phone." So she got on the phone and she contacted a group in the Netherlands. "This is my plan. I want to go in and I want to share the gospel of God, of Christ, and I need 100 Bibles." They said, "We'll give you 100 Bibles, straight up." So she had $600 and she had 100 Bibles. They said, "We'll give you the full supply." She contacted the group that were going to print the Bibles for her, and they said, we'll give you 8 Bibles for the price of 1 to take in." So then she's like, "Man, this is all," like, she's like, "So I wanted 100, I was given 100, and now I can take an extra 800, so now I have 900 Bibles to take in." She's like, how God, you know, initially she was defeated, like she was down, like you were saying. Initially she's like, "I didn't get what I asked for, like I needed this money," but God was working in the background. God was working in the background. She gets on the phone to Gideon's. And she goes, "Look, this is my plan. I want to go into the Ukraine and I want to share the gospel and I want to give the word of God in Ukrainian Bibles." They said, "Don't worry. We're sending 50,000 Bibles into Ukraine." How is that? So she's gone from like her 100 Bibles that she was hoping to take in, and now God's just gone boom, boom, boom. And that's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. That's the God that's working all things out for good. The people would know who he is. She was on the train, so they went through Poland. They've been able to see so many people getting saved. They've been, you know, seeing miracles and stuff. And as atrocious and as upsetting and horrific the acts that are taking place, God is working. And he's working in the midst. And we're finding the same thing where we are. On the Thai-Burma border, we're finding righteous men standing up. Yeah. We're finding men that are going, you know what? What God has told me to do, I need to stand for righteousness. I need to stand for my family. I need to stand for my people. And if I'm not going to do it, then who is? And I think this is a time when we look at society here in Australia, instead of us focusing on the things that are negative, what the world is doing, or, you know, things we're not agreeing with, as a church, it's time to rise. As a church, it's time to say, okay, God, I know that you've called me to youth. I know that you've called me to my workplace. I know that you've called me to my neighborhood, that there is something in my neighborhood that I could be doing. And it doesn't have to be a huge, like yesterday, we were invited to this surfing with people with disability. What an opportunity for the church. Let's all go down. Let's help them out. You know what? There's a community event on that are doing a sports day. Who are you guys? Like, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're from the local church. What? You guys are helping? Like, it's not just your event that you're running, but you're actually wanting to help the local community. That's something different, and that's not something that the world sees very often. You know, sometimes we're good at running our own things, but coming alongside people and, you know, yeah, of course we want to meet the needs of the people. Of course we want to, you know, God then opens up the doors for the gospel after. That's when it's not so much when we're standing just preaching at the street, but if you're able to sit with a friend, you're able to hear their heart, if you're able to hear, you know, I mean, there's nothing I can say when I rock up to a situation and someone's lost all their family members, they've been injured, there's no home anymore, it's all been burnt out. I can't say I understand, because I don't. I don't understand. But what I can say is I'm here, I'm listening, and I'm here to help. Whatever I can do, and I will pray. I will pray, and I will pray, and I'm here with you. And it's amazing what doors open in that. And you might know people in your spheres that are going through crazy times right now. The doors, the harvest is ready. The people are there. The people are looking for a hope. And it might just seem like having a barbecue around, inviting two friends that are Christians, three, four friends that are not, see what happens. See what conversations take place around your table. You know, invite them into your house. Not just to convert them. Please hear my heart. It's not about that. It's loving them like Christ loved them, opening the door for the opportunity for them to know that there is something different and that we are not of the world, even though we're in it. We're not this strange three-headed people. We're not a group of people that are, you know, with all these motives. We genuinely love people. You look at how Christ did his ministry. When he walked this earth and he met people where they're at, that's what we're called to. That's all we're called to. And so, it's not, yes, I'm in Thailand and we're doing things a little bit different over there. The situations are highly intense. I think it's just an intense here. It's just different. It just looks different. It just looks different. There are people here that are desperate for hope. Mental health is on a massive downfall with people, you know, losing their health. And I think even the capacity for people to be able to deal with things that they think are quite traumatic when we think, I don't understand what the big deal is. Like, I don't understand, are you fighting for your life? We're seeing people, I got the wrong coffee order, it's ridiculous, it's the worst day ever, da da da. You go, you know, people are not able to deal with their emotions and their capacity and their mental health like they used to. But we carry a hope. We carry a joy. Just want to go to 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm just going to read a bit of it. It says, now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, while people are saying peace and safety. Destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Kind of like stuff that's been going on now. A lot of people are not feeling safe and not feeling peace, right? But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. We shouldn't be surprised. What's going on? You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others. What's the difference? We have to be different. Who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober, like Dad was saying earlier. Not a time to be drunk or disillusioned with what's going on. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We all have the opportunity to know Christ. And if you don't today, I will definitely give you an opportunity at the end of this morning's message. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in the fact you are doing. As a church, there is no way we should be pulling each other down. There will be differences of opinion. There are things taking place in this world, and we will not always agree on every single thing. That's not going to happen. It doesn't happen in families. It doesn't happen in couples and relationships. It's not going to happen in the church. But what we need to stand for is the commission that God has given us and listening to his word. And when we go back to his word, that's what's important. It's not bickering about what the kids play. You know, we have children in the playground that are bickering over things, and we have parents who are bickering over similar things. It's a time to grow up. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. We urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. We're not all going to get it right. And like Dad was saying, some of us will fall down. When someone falls down, what are we going to do? Let's pull them up. Let's encourage them. Let's not have a shame, you know, okay, someone's made a mistake, let's shame them. We're all going to make mistakes. It's time for us as the church to rise up and to help one another in the pursuit that God has for us. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. I love worship. I love praise. It's interesting. I go to church weekly in Manila with Pastor James and Kate Aiton at Favor Church. And the power in praise and worship, even when we've been on the border, we don't know what to do. But when we start worshiping God, that changes the atmosphere. Pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, hold on to what is good, and reject every kind of evil. Now, I know that there's sometimes people prophesy and it may not be spot on, and you might go, you know, that's, you can shelve it. Take it to the Bible. Doesn't line with the word? Okay, that's it. Move on. Don't dwell on it. Don't let that thing build up in you. If it's not according to the word of God, shelve it. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. If God's promised you something, it will come to pass. If you believe that God has promised you something, it will come to pass. It doesn't mean it will look exactly like maybe your plan is and the way that you think that it should work out, but if he promises, his word is true. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through... The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I don't know if we can kiss at the moment. I'm like really, it's so weird here, like handshake. We don't handshake. And so we why in Thailand. So when I'm here, I like why people, and they're like, why are you bowing at me? And I'm like, oh, it's so awkward. I'm like, I don't know. Something I'll get used to, a bit of culture shock. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Christ be with you. What a message. I mean, that's just, I love, like, that's just one chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5, to the church. That's us. Let that peace be with us. Let that hope carry with us. Like, it's not even complicated. He's made it so straightforward of what we can do, encouraging each other in the church, you know, loving on those people, being a light in the dark place, going to, you know, those places where people are desperate and hopeless and being able to be that hope. That's what we're called to do. And regardless of what country we're in, regardless of what family, you know, situation you may be in or work placement, it's a joy. This is not a time for us to be down and depressed. This is not a time to go, the world is in such a bad state. I can't believe this is happening. Politics, don't get me started. Like the world politics, the, you know, what's going on. But what has God called us to do? What has He called me to do? My purpose is to love on people, to be Christ in this place and to share the gospel. And nothing is greater than that. Nothing is more important than that. And so I think that's where, yes, we stand for righteousness. I'm not saying get caught up in things that are not of God. But if you find that someone is speaking something, discern it. Take it to the Bible. Pray about it. Ask God. That doesn't sit, like I said, throw it away. It's not something that we need to make sure that we're focusing on. Because it's now. It's time to dream. It's time for the church to rise, and it's time for us to take our stance and be loving on people and to be giving a hope on people that they are desperate for, because the harvest is ready. They are so desperate, so desperate. So I just want to encourage you this morning with that. God has been so faithful for us where we are in Thailand, and I just thank God so much for the partnership that we have with you guys and your faithfulness in sowing and praying for us and what's going on. We are seeing a fruit, and I really believe that there's a revival. Like, we're seeing young people. We had our first youth meeting last Saturday night. We had 100. We had 100 youth come for our first youth meeting. The week before, we did a sports day in the open community. We had over 100, and we didn't have our factory workers or our children's home kids at that. It was just the local community. They're trying to connect somewhere. People are trying to connect. It's a world that is so disconnected. We've got masks, we've got phones, we've got isolation. And people are going, how can I connect? And it might mean that we have to pivot. It might mean that we have to do something that looks a little bit different. When I heard James and Kate the other day, they said they had 2 weeks to realize, okay, we're going online. We need to learn new skills. We need to do things. They're doing some crazy stuff. I'm like, but God's called them to. He's doing some things, and people would go, I don't know, that's a little bit strange. It's a bit new age kind of new thing. And you know what he says? He says, I'm just casting the net on the other side. And I was like, I can't argue on that, because that's where people are. People are in those crazy places that, you know, maybe not somewhere that we would hang out at. But what's the purpose and the plan? And he's like, we're going for souls. We're sharing the gospel. We're giving a hope. And that's what we're, you know, about. So, yeah, I just want to encourage you guys as, you know, you go out this week, take a second, think about it. Like, God, what is something I could do? Where is my tongue? Where is my head? And where is my heart? Is it focusing on what the world is saying, or is it on the Great Commission that you've called me to do? Am I looking for opportunities to love on people, or am I getting caught up in things that are not of God or, you know, of the world? Can I just pray? Is that all right? God, I just thank you so much for this church, God. Lord, I thank you for the diligently, faithfully serving, Father God, in this house. God, I thank you for the generosity and the giving towards the missions, Father, in the nations around, God. Lord, I just pray for every single individual, Father, that's here this morning, God, or online. Lord, I pray that they would know who you are. God, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for them, Father. Lord God, that they would be able to live a hope, Lord God, and have that peace and that love that does not exist in this world, God. Lord God, I thank you for the opportunity that you give us, Father. If we recognize that you are our Savior, Jesus Christ, and that you died for us, Father, that we could have eternal life, Father, and that we could have a relationship with you, God. Lord God, and regardless of what situation we find ourselves, Lord God, that we find ourselves in a drunkard's stupor, or we find ourselves in a hopeless situation with work or in our families, God, that you meet us exactly where we are. And God, even if we feel like we're doing okay and we don't really need you, God, Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would deal with our hearts. Lord God, that you would meet us where we're at, Father, and that we would know who you are and the purpose and the plan that you have for our lives. God, I just pray for every person that is listening today, God, your blessing over them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if anybody does want any questions or anything after, feel free to talk. I can talk after. I have some photos and stuff outside. You're welcome to take one, please. If you do, please pray. When you see that photo, maybe it'll make you think about what we're doing. It's exciting to see what God's doing there. And yeah, I'd love to partner with you guys. You can either follow me on social media or you can contact the church. We can do email. I try and do a monthly video for you guys to give you guys an update of what's going on, so that you guys feel connected. And if you want to contact me personally, feel free to do that. We're always looking for people that would like to come or even partner with the work that's there. So yeah, always feel that I'm approachable and would love to hear from you guys.
So, who's inspired? Who's inspired? Oh, that's good. Praise the Lord. I've just come in here. I've known this girl since she's been probably this big. And I can honestly say I'm so proud of what God is doing through her and in her. And you know, some of the stories she can't tell us, but she's told me. And it has to be a God thing, to be honest. It's only a God thing that she's right in the center of God's will. Amen. And we love her dearly, and we're going to support her all the time. Prayer, finance, whatever it takes. We want to see a move of God occur in that place. Amen. She's willing to pray for people. If you need prayer this morning and you just want to talk to Kate, she'll be up here. If you just feel that urgency to say, God, I want to rededicate my life again to you. I want you to have your way in me, through me. He sent Kate to Thailand. But your missions is outside your door. Doesn't have to be Thailand. It can be right here. Amen. So let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. He's a good God who's doing great things. Amen. And even though sometimes we don't see it, we will hear about it. And the fruitfulness of what's happening in the ministry is also your fruit. Them lives you're touching. Those families that get been touched. Those children that have been rescued. We're all part of that. Amen. So I'm just going to leave the altar open for a moment. If you'd like Kate to pray with you, just come to the front and I'm just going to get out the way. I really believe there is an anointing on her life for souls. There's an anointing on her life to connect to the community. Hallelujah. Just with your eyes closed, you just say, Lord, if that's you, you come right now. Say, God, use me. God, use me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. Father, we do thank you that, Lord, you'd use each one of us in this hour that we're in. Lord, to reach out and be your hands and your feet in our community. Lord, not just in our community, but, Father, wherever we're at the shop, Lord, at school, wherever we're at, Jesus, let your name be upon our lips as the God of hope, the God of rescue, the God of deliverance, the God of love. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And his people said, amen. God bless you. Thanks, guys, for being here this morning. Thanks, Kate. Amazing. And please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee. Gentlemen, can you please help pick up the...